Can you hear us? Okay. Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone out to our work session this evening. The first item on our work session agenda is a department update, a presentation of the 2021 Annual Redevelopment Agency Report, Lewis, Young, Robertson, and Birmingham. Sherry Pace is going to introduce the Lewis Young staff, which I think is Katie Ware, which used to be on our staff here. So welcome back. It's good to see you again. It looks like things are going well. So Sherry, I'll let you introduce her now that I already have.
We put the mouse on that screen. I swear I tested this before. Okay, it's frozen. I'm going to fix it in a minute. So Kate Werrett is here with Lewis Young. They prepare our report every year that is due on November 1st for our RDA update. And she's prepared some slides. So I'm going to let her come up here, and then I'm going to make sure the slides are working. They are now. There you go.
Hello, everyone. It's great to see you again. So we're going to go walk through why this is required, the different details on your different project areas, and then a potential extension that you could consider, that if you want to consider, you'll have to act on before the end of the year. So,
Kate, can you get just a little closer to the mic?
Yes. Sorry about that. Okay. So redevelopment agencies are required annually to submit. We refer to them as a November 1 report, but it's an annual report regarding your different project areas. Next year, it will actually be due on June 30th, and moving forward, that is the plan to have them due on June 30th. They will be submitted electronically to a database called Go Utah. That's a little bit of a change, but we'll continue to do those reports for you. Just want to make you aware of that date change. And the first project area we're going to look at is your Eagle Village CDA, just off of Highway 89, and you have a lot of work going on in that area. Here's a map showing you where that project area is. So this is a CDA. It's about 92 acres. You have 6 years remaining in this project area. And down in the bottom left-hand corner, you can see what the taxable value was when this project area was first started and what its value, its tax year value is. So that's this year's value. That's the amount that it was valued at when the increment was calculated. So you've increased about 2,000% in the valuation of that property since this project area was created and triggered. That's pretty good. So this last year, you received about $490,000. Or you were projected to receive about $490,000. You actually received about $460,000, so you only received about 94%. Last year, you were about 108% of what was projected, so there's a little up and down going on there, which is to be expected. Lifetime of the project area to date, not to the end of the project area, but to date, you've received about $2 million off of this particular project area, which is good for you. You can see there that base year pass through what you've received just off of the original value, and then the amount that was not retained by the agency that continued on to the taxing entities. Your portion of that was about $256,000. So this slide shows you what the development has been over there. I'm sure you all see the development that's occurring as you drive by it every day, but Brighton is underway with some mixed-use buildings, a lot of residential units, some office, and also some retail will be going in there. Then along Redwood Road, this one's been around quite a bit longer. You can see there's a red outline and a yellow outline. That yellow one is actually the outline of the project area as it is. The red was what was proposed, but then some parcels were taken out. This one was triggered in 2015, should run through 2019. and you've had about 122% increase in your in the taxable value of the area. So not quite as big, but still really impressive. So you realized about 109% more taxable increment this last period, more than you were anticipated to, which was about $950,000. Over the lifetime of the project to date, you've received about $2.9 million off of this for the agency to use. Now, just reminder that, that amount gets broken down. You have your redevelopment agency uses, which can go towards administration fees, and then you have your developer agreement amounts that you may be paying on that also. So you can see that you are receiving here again more than you would have had you not implemented these project areas. So in the last year, you had Amazon Prime open up a facility there for that last mile delivery, which has offered 800 new jobs within your city. Foxborough Marketplace has completed construction of all of their pads and have occupancy at all except for one, and which is owned by Golden West Credit Union. And then you had a 120-unit multifamily complex that was completed this summer. The Orbit Development, RDA, this is one that you've kind of had on hold. It did not trigger when it was supposed to trigger, and there's some options that you as an agency have, or if you wanted to, this could be a canceled, you could cancel this particular project area as it wasn't triggered and you're not receiving increment on it. So,
if you said there were some options, what would those options be?
You'd need to go back to the taxing entities and rework incremental or interlocal agreements with them, as the ones that you have in place were all posed to go expired with that trigger date. So that would be an option. The other option would be to cancel. It's my understanding that the developer did not meet their requirements in order for the area to be triggered, and that's why that did not occur. So you could also consider looking for different development opportunities in that area. So that's another option that, you would have there. Highway 89 is your next one. So this particular project area covers some land that is unincorporated from your, so it's unincorporated Davis County instead of North Salt Lake land. You can see it in the pink on the northern edge of Highway 89 there. So you have two taxing areas, or actually, excuse me, three taxing areas that this is are included in this. So altogether, you received about $364,000 in increment off of this one this year. You had from between your base year value and your tax year 2020 taxable value on this, you've increased about 156% in valuation, which is great. And you received a little bit less increment than expected, but that was pretty common this year due to COVID across the board. What's gone in here is you've approved several townhomes. The NSL City Center across the street had 35 additional townhomes built or approved that will be built by the end of 2022. You've had some apartments built, several other sections of townhomes, and then Golden West Credit Union is under construction and will be done by 2022, spring of 2022. Those are your different project areas. I want to talk to you about SB 6001. That is a bill that was passed that allows the redevelopment agency to extend the life of different project areas that were impacted negatively by COVID, the global pandemic. So what that means is if you feel that any of your areas were impacted, you write a resolution. Well, we can do that for you. A resolution is created that explains what the hardship was. Typically, with yours, this Highway 89 is a good example. either development was slowed or some negative impact occurred for the developer. Construction costs went up. There was some kind of unknown about whether or not the type of development that was proposed was a good fit. And so because of that, the taxable value did not go up as much as intended. And because of that decrease in increment, you are allowed to extend the project area up to 2 years. To do that, it's ideal to have a letter from at least one developer in each of the different project areas that you would like to extend. It's not required to do this, but it is an option. And I'm happy to answer any questions about that. But it's up to 2 years. Most all the agencies have selected to do the full two. You don't have any caps, or limits on how much money can be collected by your different project areas. So the one thing to keep in mind with that is that you have to pass the resolution, so approve it, by December 31st of this year. So with that, I'll turn it over to you for any questions.
I'm going to interrupt you for a moment, yeah. Kate. This bill that she's talking about is in my city manager report. And I'm recommending that we do this. We've been working with a couple of our developers who are willing to write letters indicating that COVID and supply chain problems have slowed their developments and caused delays. And so I'm also recommending that we hold a special meeting 2 weeks from tonight on November 30th to do a couple of other things that I can explain in the city manager report, but this would be one of them, is to pass that resolution. So we actually have some resolutions we're working on, so a lot of other communities have done this, and we'll be proposing that for the city council as well. It doesn't require approval by any of the other taxing agencies, and so that's something we have to do.
I was expecting this to be my last night. Am I going to get paid overtime?
Yep.
Yes, we'll pay you overtime.
Ken, is there any reason to continue the Orbit one?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's no interest on Orbit's part to perform as they originally had planned. They're long past that decision. And so I did reach out to them because the council asked me to last time we had this discussion. I think before we cancel the project, we ought to look at that area in a new light, and maybe we have done quite a bit of work in the past on examining blight, investments in roadways and redevelopment. And so I'd probably take a couple of more months to look at what's possible under the existing EDA and see if there isn't some way to incentivize redevelopment in areas outside of Orbit, because that EDA is a larger area, as you saw, than just Orbit. And so before we cancel it, we ought to take a serious look at a plan that would impact other areas of the EDA, and then we could go to the taxing entities and see if they're willing to reinstate the EDA.
So in a sense, though, we'd start over again, wouldn't we?
I think it's not nearly as difficult as starting over. I think starting over is a pretty tall mountain.
So the clock's not ticking on that at all?
Well, it's, you know, the trigger date that we agreed to has expired a year and a half ago. So
would this be a CRA now, or would it
We would continue it as an EDA, which wouldn't require us to restart it, just to get revised agreements, as Kate said, with the taxing entities. So, but I think before we say we're done with it, we ought to take a serious look at it one more time. And you asked for questions, so you must be done.
I am done, unless
okay.
There's
okay. Are there any other questions? All right. Well, Kate, it's good to see you again.
Good
and
to
thanks
see
for
you
coming
also.
By, and good luck in this future career.
Great. Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Looks like we have another new employee there on the bench there.
Yeah, we should introduce her.
So, Allie?
Maybe. It's just this button, right? There we go.
Okay. I'm taller than Kate. And I'm a current employee also, not a former employee. We are required by state code to adopt a moderate income housing plan, which you guys did last year in 2020. I believe we're supposed to update that every 5 years, but annually we are supposed to report to the state and Wasatch Front Regional Council about our progress towards meeting those goals in the plan that we adopted. So I've attached in your packet the reporting form that will be submitted to the state and WFRC. We are supposed to answer questions about each goal and strategy. And the way that our plan is written, we have 10 strategies in the plan that are nested under a handful of goals. And so some of the questions, if you read through the report, may seem redundant, and that's because they are, because we're required to report how each strategy relates to that goal. So basically, we're answering the same question for the goal 10 times, if that makes sense. So there were some issues with the reporting with the state this year. The state has, they require that we submit 5-year projection data, and they have a projection calculator that is not currently functioning. So they've advised us to just submit last year's numbers and whatever data we have internally along with the report, and they are going to continue to work to fix that calculator to support the cities. So what we have internally is we have building permit data. So that first bullet point, it comes from the housing plan that we adopted last year. It says that by 2030, we'll need an additional 725 housing units. 70 of those need to be affordable to extremely low-income households, which is less than or equal to 30% of the area median income. That's what AMI is. 45 of them need to be affordable to low income, which is 30 to 50% AMI, and 112 affordable to moderate income, which is 50 to 80% AMI. This year, we've built 72 housing units in the city, and none of those housing units had a targeted rent or purchase price that was affordable to residents making 80% or lower than the county's median family income. However, we have been making progress for moderate income housing in the city in different ways. So since November 2020, which is the last time we reported to the state, 13 accessory dwelling units have been approved. We're currently also evaluating a request to create some affordable units within the Williamsburg development. They're requesting an agreement with the city, I'm assuming, for some funding. And we're also consistently referring people over to the Davis Community Housing Authority for all of their housing programs. I do have some data on the next slide about what we've done with the Davis Community Housing Authority in the last year. It's kind of hard for me to see those graphs. But in 2020, we had 33 active Section 8 housing vouchers in the city. In 2021, we now have 40 active housing voucher holders. We also, I don't have the data about the other programs from 2020, but in 2021, we've had 4 first-time home buyers receive down payment assistance through the Housing Authority. We've had only 1 emergency home repair grant and 1 roofing repair grant. I did think it was interesting to note, though, the data that we get from the Housing Authority shows the type of housing units where the Section 8 housing voucher holders are living, and also the location, general locations within the city. They're not allowed to give addresses, but the general locations with the city and the housing types have changed dramatically in 1 year. And I think something to note is that ADUs, there are 2 housing voucher holders that are living in ADUs, basement apartments. So I think that shows that we've made good progress there.
Allie, can I ask a question here?
Yeah.
So in the commercial real estate world, office buildings particularly, a new office building will get constructed and it'll be nice and they'll advertise high rates and, you know, it'll be Class A building. And as they create a supply, oversupply in the market, they will start poaching from other Class A buildings that are older. And then those Class A buildings will start poaching from Class B buildings. And the general trend will be to push down rents in the market, and the Class B will impact Class C. So as I look at this, I wouldn't expect any new apartments, for example, in our city to fall into that below 80% category. But by creating them, I would suspect that it impacts some of the older ones that we're not counting currently as moderate to low income housing. But in a normal market, which we're not in, obviously, that would push down rents in these older units that would then qualify for that. So I guess my question is there anything in this market? Nothing would qualify, you know. You could build a shanty out here and rent it for a ridiculous price. But in a normal market, I would think any new development would push down prices on older developments.
Right.
That probably we're not counting as moderate to low-income housing, because 30 years ago when it was built, it was not in that. Does that make sense?
Yes, and that is addressed in the plan that we adopted last year, that the, what's the term we use, natural attrition? That's Sherry's term, I'll give her credit, of housing is how it makes it more affordable. The older housing becomes more affordable as you develop new housing.
Okay.
So that is a thing that is in our plan that's addressed in the report as well. I think as far as reporting to the state, they're wanting to see what other methods we may be using. If we're not going to be building new units, they want to see what else we're doing, which is we're using RDA funds potentially to deed restrict some new units that developers are putting in, or we're allowing ADUs, or we're participating in the Davis Community Housing Authority program, or there's potential that we could bring back our home repair grant program and fund it maybe with RDA funds. So there's all kinds of creative things we can do to keep people in their affordable housing, or to create a supply of affordable housing without going out and constructing brand new developments. So that's all I had. You're not required to take any action. You're just required to review the report, and then I'll submit it to the state by the deadline, which is December 1st.
Okay.
Did you have any other questions?
No, the only, it's just a comment, and that is at the league board the other day, there, who knows what the legislature is going to do. Obviously, it's a big issue for them, but they did mention that the plans that we have are going to get a lot more scrutiny than they've had in the past, and that the more strategies you can have, probably the better. So I don't know if we want to look at additional strategies as we amend our plan in the future, and how, who knows how the carrots and the sticks are going to work out on that. But affordable housing is high on their list of issues that they'd like to deal with, and I don't know. I think they're expecting too much from the cities, but we're in their sights.
I think North Salt Lake is safe from the legislature in this regard. I think their laundry list of strategies is, there's like 27 or up to 30 maybe, and we have 10. You're only required to have 3. And also they use our plan as a template for other cities. So I think we're going to be okay.
Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, the one thing that they mentioned is one of the things they're looking at is the more strategies you have, as you apply for grants, the more better opportunity you'd have to get a grant if you have more strategies. So
that's good to know.
Anyway,
I might add also, maybe to address Councilmember Horrocks' concept of what you were talking about, the market doing to create lower rents. I think the city is in a unique position because over time we're going to have over $1 million and maybe more in housing funds. And in addition to some of the ways that Ali mentioned using those funds, I'm also learning that other cities are doing things like down payment assistance, rental assistance. So as programs that you would normally think are federal programs or county community development block grant programs, local government is dabbling in that. And I think since we have funding available, those are things that we could take a serious look at. And I think that would make a difference. We don't want to duplicate what the Davis Housing Authority is doing, but there may be programs that we can tailor to North Salt Lake that would be of assistance to our LMI folks.
Okay. Thanks, Ken. Thanks, Allie.
Thank you.
I love your new employee there.
Need to get her a name for you.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes. Have those been looked at? Are there any changes, or is there a motion to approve them? Any issues, or is there a motion?
I didn't see anything earlier, Mayor, so I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes of October 19th.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second. I don't recall where I found just a minor error, but it doesn't impact substance. So I make the motion to approve the minutes.
I think we have a motion. We'll accept your second.
Second. Sorry.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 And Natalie, are you there?
Can you hear us, Natalie?
Okay. I should note that Councilwoman Natalie.
Aye. Sorry.
Oh, aye. Okay. She's off mute now. So that motion passed unanimously. I should also note that we're missing Councilman Ryan Mumford this evening. He's no longer a member of the council. I think he has a growing family and needed a new home. And so he's left our community. We're sorry to see him go. But anyway. The next item on the agenda is the action items. Any comments on the action items? On item 12, Sherry, I understand that that's there. How closely have we looked at that? And I think that's kind of the way I understood it, but I want to make sure that.
Where I don't have that in front of me, can you tell me what item 12 was?
The Stericycle zoning question.
Oh, the Stericycle. Yeah, I have all of those answers. I just wasn't sure if you wanted it in a formal report or just what I put there in the action items. So So what are you asking how close they are to moving?
Well, I mean, the question is, are they ever going to move? And again, we were on the, many of us were on the Planning Commission when Stericycle started moving waste in, and we placed a 20% limit on it, and I realize that this Planning Commission subsequently removed that.
Right.
I just don't know if we have any options where they will be solely a waste transport port facility, and I don't believe that's allowed in the zone.
So I think the question, Sherry, was really once Stericycle removes their incineration operation, their desire is to continue as a drop-off and kind of a transfer station and sorting facility. And the question I think the council asked us is that authorized under the under Stericycle's current zoning or their we also adopted a zoning overlay. And yes, I believe we've looked at that issue and that they would be authorized to do that. But we can have Todd give us a written opinion about that. But
it was very, it was pretty clear in the overlay zone language that we passed in 2012 that the transfer of medical waste was a permitted use.
Okay. Are there any other questions on the action items? If not, let's go to council reports. Let's start with you, Stan.
I don't think I really have any report. Maybe I'll think about something and you can come back to me.
Okay.
But right now I can't think of anything.
Brian?
Just a couple of things. Got word today that former Mayor Jake Simmons passed away yesterday. He was a great man and will be missed. On a happier note, and I know this because one of my building engineers is married to the woman, but Skylar Ramsayer of our city is Mrs. Utah for 2022. So we should have a parade and have her go down and wave or something. And then I just had a question, and maybe this was on the action items, but the 14th Fairway, there's a home there at the bottom of Fairway Drive that has had a spring for years, and I know we've worked on it and worked on it, and I suggested at one time, kind of tongue-in-cheek, that we put a water feature in there, but it's very bad again, and I don't know.
Sure, we've discussed that today. That improvement is scheduled for going out to bid over the winter and for the storm drain, that is, that will correct that problem. We hope it will be constructed in the spring or summer as soon as we can get a bid awarded. The other thing I would say is you also asked, or the council asked us to look at a water feature or a decorative feature there. And so we will be looking at that as we do the renovation of the golf course. Yeah.
That's all I've got here.
If I said that wrong, Tyler, you can correct me, but I think that's right.
Lisa?
I have nothing to report.
Okay. Natalie? Are you muted, Natalie, or can you hear us?
I have nothing to report. Sorry about that.
Okay. No, that's good. So with that, that ends the work session. And so we'll readjourn at 7 o'clock.